Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is week 15 in the NFL, also known as semifinal week for those who are competent with their fantasy football team throughout the year. And joining us right now to give you some last second preparations, the great Brad Evans of Yahoo. Brad, how are you?
Hola, amigo. Yes, we are the sane ones, not the sickos who have our semifinals in week 15, not the opening round of our fantasy playoffs.
Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, that's insane, Brad. Who does that?
Believe it or not, I have some esteemed colleagues who never, as they like to say, want to leave meat on the bone. So they play all the way through week 17 and that crapshoot, that dice roll, that spinning roulette wheel of who's going to sit, who's going to play. You know, what achievements could be made. It's ridiculous. I want nothing to do with
week 17. Oh, my God. Week 17 is the worst week in the history of football. I mean, it really is. I'd get rid of it if I could.
I'm with you. I'm totally there. It's like up there with the New Mexico Bowl. Just get rid of them.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you have some significance and some fun, but most of it is just garbage in which we're waiting for the real playoffs to start. That's
and
basically what it is.
This is why we gamble.
Yes. That's a good point. That's a good point. Let's start with what I think is the headline of this weekend. And that's the fact that if you had Keenan Allen, you got hosed on Thursday night. Now, poor Keenan, I think he's got a hip pointer. So let's not ignore the fact that he's a human being who's hurt. But how about the poor Keenan Allen starters? They put him in there and they get a bagel out of him.
This is why I've been drinking tequila nonstop since Thursday night. Because I'm one of those sorry saps that had Keenan Allen in my line. Now, thankfully, I also had the great Justin Jackson, who salvaged what otherwise would have been a horrendous fantasy night with that late touchdown. I did not have any Damian Williams shares and his Priest Holmes impression on the field on Thursday. But yeah, I mean, right now, if you were one of those sorrowful people in a situation in which you open up an Einstein Brothers bagel shop with Keenan Allen, you got to chase nothing but ceiling at this point. And I'm getting a ton of questions on my Twitter feed at Yahoo Noise is where you can follow me in regards to a lot of players tied to tonight's contest in particular between the Denver Broncos and Cleveland Browns. And a lot of people are saying, do I go with a Cortland Sutton? Do I go with a Deshaun Hamilton in Denver? If you are forced into that corner, I actually go with Hamilton just based on the 1-on-1 matchup he is expected to go up against, and Brian Brody Calhoun, I should say, a guy that's given up a 105.9 passer rating and a 78.7 catch percentage to his assignments, and Hamilton off a 9-target game. I think he's got a really good shot at 60 yards and a TD with a new alarm quarterback in Case Keenum force-feeding him the football out of the slot.
Isn't it fair to say that Cortland Sutton, other than the game against Cincinnati 2 weeks ago, other than that, he's kind of been a massive disappointment? After the Thomas trade, there was hope that this is a guy who would be a double-digit points guy. Other than the Bengal game, he's been average at best.
Yeah, look, he was my favorite wide receiver prospect in this year's NFL draft class at the wide receiver position, and he just hasn't materialized. I mean, he's long. He's lanky. He's got that wingspan. His route running acumen, you know, it's been a work in progress. A guy that, you know, struggled finishing off precisely his routes. He rounded many off at SMU, but he's made some strides. But I think a lot of it has to do with Keenum, quite frankly. Keenum has been under duress. You know, the pass blocking hasn't been rigid for the Denver Broncos this season. And Sutton's also, you know, he's spoiled some opportunities. He's dropped what normally he catches, some quick slants, and he turns from a, you know, 7-8 yard gain into 18, 19, 20 yard gain. So the onus is partially on him, but I put a lot of the blame on Case Keenum. I still think the ceiling is enormously high for Sutton, right, just given his physical makeup. But, you know, he's a guy that's still rough around the edges, and it's going to take some time for him to reach peak capacity, and I don't think you're going to see it tonight. That's why I like Deshaun Hamilton, who I think is a more efficient route runner, even though he is not really seeing the field a ton until here late in the season due to injuries being thrust in that lead role, particularly with Emmanuel Sanders sideline. But yeah, Sutton's been a massive disappointment.
All right, let's look at this early game then, because Isaiah Crowell's not going to play for the Jets. Elijah McGuire had a very productive week last week against Buffalo. What about this matchup? I mean, you have to figure the Jets are not going to be playing from ahead in this game. He is their running back. You figure he's going to get a bunch of carries. What about this matchup against the Texans this afternoon?
Yeah, you know, I like Elijah McGuire to a certain extent as a flex option in a 12-teamer deeper league. You know, if you're in dire straits, if you're somebody out there that suffered through Melvin Gordon not playing in particular, like for this week, or you've been bitten by the injury bug elsewhere, maybe you're somebody that's extremely skittish about the matchup with an Aaron Jones going against that vaunted Chicago Bears defense on the road in a potential revenge game for the home squad, and you want to entertain the services of Elijah McGuire. Look, volume speaks, and he's certainly going to get at least 15 to 20 touches. I just hate the matchup because with Whitney Mercilus and J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney in the trenches, they really bottle up through the Houston Texans to run. They've been up just 3.34 yards per carry at the running back position, and the fourth fewest rushing yards to RBs this season, along with just 7 rushing touchdowns. You know, unless McGuire trips and falls into the end zone, you worry about him finishing with something like 60, 65 total yards and no scores. So there's a lot of downside, which really offsets the upside potential for the New York Jet.
All right, I'm going to do a guy a favor. Since my teams are out of the playoffs and I can't ask a selfish, self-serving question, I'm going to ask a question for the man who's running the board right now, Paul Rosenberg. All right, he's got Elijah McGuire and he's got Josh Reynolds. Flex, where are you going?
Oh, good Lord, have mercy. Do we know what format? Is it standard, half-point PPR, full-point PPR?
Rosie, PPR full, he says.
PPR full. You know, again, McGuire, you love the volume side of it. If it goes negative, he can catch the ball cleanly out of the backfield. I mean, he was being groomed as a third down back before the injury, exited him stage left earlier on in the season. I'd probably stick with McGuire here. I think Reynolds, you know, maybe you muster 5-6 targets, but maybe get 3 catches, 35 yards, and a touchdown. I mean, it's touchdown or bust, essentially, for Reynolds. At least with McGuire, no matter how this game blows, he should get upwards of 15 to 20 touches and probably a handful of those through the air.
Now, obviously, your other option's a big factor here, but what about on the other side, the Deshaun Watson versus the Jets defensive matchup?
Well, I actually really like Deshaun Watson quite a bit. I know this offense has turned more conservative here down the stretch. I mean, Lamar Miller is having an incredible campaign this year. A guy that is RB12 in yards after contact per attempt, according to Pro Football Focus. And he was always known as not much of a bruiser, but more of a slasher type of running back. But he's starting to resemble the rusher that we saw during his heyday with the Miami Dolphins. A guy that's getting chunk gains. The offensive line's been opening up some sizable holes for him, and he's been jetting through those. I think he could take advantage of this defense, which should help out Deshaun Watson, and whether or not he goes with an RPO play or downfield with DeAndre Hopkins. Demaryius Thomas has been highly involved in the red zone. I think it's entirely realistic. Jets giving up north of 7 pass yards per attempt, right around 270 pass yards per game to the quarterback position. For Watson to finish in range of 260 to 275 through the air, pair of touchdowns, and of course, one of those guys that always raises the floor with those rushing stats. He can get you 25 to 30 on the ground as well. That comes to fruition, you're looking at a top 12 play.
Do you think, because of the matchup and because his season hasn't been typical to what we've seen in the past, that Aaron Rodgers is a guy you got to look at sitting this week?
Hell yes. Bench him. Did you see what the Bears did to the Rams?
I know.
I mean, come on. The taste in the mouth is still extremely bitter for Chicago after week one. The whole Willis Reed act for Aaron Rodgers, you know, getting carted off before half. Everybody's solemn. Everybody's glum there at Lambeau Field. He comes out there with a limp and just lights the world on fire. And, of course, throws that 75-yard bomb to Randall Cobb for the game-clenching touchdown. As a Bears fan, I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter at all.
Yeah.
But I will say this. I think Aaron Rodgers will struggle. I mean, he's been on the outside of the QB top 15 here since week 8. I mean, he has struggled mightily. He's been, you know, much like Tom Tepid, kind of a guy that's been average at best for fantasy purposes. Should you entertain a Josh Allen ahead of Aaron Rodgers? Absolutely you should. Josh Allen is the second best quarterback in fantasy land the last 2 or 3 weeks, and he has been horrendous. Horrendous, but again, it's all about the rushing stats. Yeah. Even though he's completed 50% of his attempts, he's averaging 111.7 rush yards per game. And you look at Detroit, that's a dinner and a movie defense. They're giving up over 8 yards per attempt through the year. I think Allen, though, they've contained the run well against quarterbacks. Allen's just playing schoolyard ball right now. I think he goes for at least 60 on the ground, another 200 through the year, probably a couple of touchdowns. You know, him or like a Lamar Jackson. Hell, even a Josh Johnson. And I can't believe I'm even saying Josh Johnson. Johnson.
Come on now.
Again, Evan, it's all about scoring duality.
All
as
right.
As crazy as it sounds, I mean, Josh Johnson called off the bench last week, and granted, it was a friendlier matchup with the New York Giants. He finished QB7. On the week,
yeah.
And he didn't play a full game. And then you get a Jacksonville defense that's, they've been checked out mentally for weeks.
Let me throw a guy at you then, because I think a part of it is it's just weird to sit Aaron Rodgers, even though it makes sense because of how good the Bear defense has been, what they did last week to the Rams. But let me give you a specific guy who's not going to beat you with his legs. Would you sit Aaron Rodgers for Kirk Cousins?
What version of Kirk Cousins are we going to see now that John DeFilippo is, out of the mix? One of the most placid performances I've ever seen by an offensive coordinator. He was way too reserved. I would have been throwing stuff. I would have been screaming and yelling at my players at how they executed in Seattle. But there's a reason why he's no longer a coach in the NFL. I actually go with Cousins because Xavien Howard is out for the Miami Dolphins. You saw what Tom Brady did against this defense last week. You might say to yourself, well, that's Tom Brady. He's the GOAT. He's the best of all time. Tom Brady's been, largely mediocre for fantasy purposes this year. And I think Kirk Cousins at home, friendly environment, knowing that the Dolphins are coming in wounded, I think he could take advantage. And hopefully the promoted quarterbacks coach who's going to be calling the shots, on offense, will be able to open up that box a little bit more to get him to throw the ball downfield. And he's still got Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen and Kyle Rudolph and Dalvin Cook's highly involved as a receiver of the backfield. I definitely go Kirk Cousins. Hell, I go Derek Carr this week over Aaron Rodgers going against the Bungles with a lot of the most fantasy points at quarterback position.
How about this Jalen Samuels of the Steelers? Give me your thoughts on him.
Well, yeah, James Conner did practice on a limited basis on Friday, so we're going to have to wait and see if he's going to gut it out. I think it's probably 50-50 at best that he does, but, Jalen Samuels has been a point of controversy in the Yahoo fantasy universe here the last couple of weeks because he's tight end eligible.
Yeah.
And, a lot of people are pointing fingers at us saying, oh, we got it wrong. No, we really didn't. Our game opened up April 24th, and you got to think back all the way to February during the NFL Combine. He tested with the tight ends. He was an H-back, essentially, and mostly a tight end in North Carolina State. So when our game opened and our provider, Stats Inc., they're the ones that grant the designations in terms of position eligibility. He was RB/tight end. And it was, the Steelers, they drafted him like, well, we're going to utilize him to the best of his ability. We think he's a running back, but they weren't entirely sure how they were going to deploy him. It wasn't until that first depth chart came out in early August that he was deemed a running back. And we're not going to change it then because drafts have already happened. But getting back to his upside for this week, I mean, last week he was more or less a glorified tight end. I mean, he had 8 receptions. He's a player that's certainly a top 7 tight end play in the Yahoo game and a borderline top 20 play this week. Again, you got a great matchup going against New England. They have a lot of the 6 most fantasy points, the running back position, and he can be used in myriad ways. So I would not be at all surprised to see Samuels go out there and get you, 70 to 80 combined yards, potential touchdown. Again, assuming James Conner isn't active.
We're talking to Brad Evans of Yahoo. Do you play fantasy baseball, or you stick to just football?
Yes, I'm in a cutthroat NL only league. And I also play in a 14-team mixed league.
Okay.
Well,
this Jalen Samuels thing reminds me of the thing I have a man crush on in baseball. I love the Marwin Gonzalez's of the world who will qualify at third base, shortstop, second base, first base, outfield. Those are my favorite guys, and it actually reminds me, because you don't see it that often in football, obviously. I like that. When you get a guy, I can plug him in a tight end. I can plug him in a run. I love that versatility.
Yeah, especially if you're in deep fantasy baseball leagues. I know we're geeking out about fantasy baseball, and probably an infinitesimal amount of our audience actually cares about fantasy baseball.
Yes.
But it's like the Jose Oquindo factor, right? You know, those guys shift all over the place, and you can plug in holes when injuries start to mount, particularly in a 162-game season. In football, we've got to come up with a system that maybe it's based on snap count information where guys can gain eligibility, because in this almost specialized era of the NFL, guys are shifted about. They play various roles. Where they launch off the snap, whether it's in the slot, out of the backfield as a running back, maybe they line up a tight end. You look at a Taysom Hill. I mean, he's the ultimate gadget for the New Orleans Saints. They've been shifting him about all over the place. I think we got to come up with a system that generates eligibility for people that is more clear cut. And I think it would add a new twist and a new fun factor to fantasy football overall.
I love it. I love it. Who benefits the most with Odell being out again, in your opinion?
Probably Sterling Shepard, in my estimation. And Evan Engram as well. I think both those guys definitely see a boost in target share. I mean, you've got about 27% of the target share available with OBJ and Street Clothes. And you look at the matchup for the New York Giants this week. It's against Tennessee. And Malcolm Butler, I mean, he is he's just serving up points on a silver platter for the opposition. So, you know, you maybe on the outside, whoever lines up against him is going to get some opportunities. You know, Evan Ingram's a guy that could definitely take advantage. You also look at the slot for the Tennessee Titans. That's Sterling Shepard's territory. Logan Ryan has been the primary slot guy for them. He's given up a 118 pass rate in his assignments. I think Ingram and Shepard have better than a 40 to 50% chance of splashing six in this one. In fact, I'm playing Sterling Shepard in a double flex league in my semifinals.
What are some of your favorite defensive matchups this week?
Well, let's start with the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, Arizona is, they're redefining atrocious offensively. They're disgusting. They're wretched. Josh Rosen, you know, not even completing 50, 55% of his attempts. I know Atlanta's been a pushover defensively this season, but I think they can really get after the quarterback behind this, you know, sieve of an offensive line. Rosen just hasn't had any time to even do a three-step drop and release. So the Atlanta Falcons, they're only $12 Yahoo DFS game. Still available for plug-and-play options in some shallower leagues out there. I think they're interesting. I think the 49ers are interesting against Seattle. And I know Russell Wilson doesn't turn the ball over that much, though he was making like pirouette, just idiotic throws on Monday night that were inexplicable. But you know, he has been under a lot of duress. San Francisco has really ratcheted up defensively here the last couple of weeks. I think those are two units that are very interesting. I think the Buffalo Bills as well. If you look at Matthew Stafford, he's been sacked close to right around 25 times the last 6 weeks. I think the Bills could really get after it, and we know how good that Buffalo secondary is, spearheaded by the great Tre'Davious White.
Indeed. Brad, good luck this week. Thank you as always.
Gracias, amigo. Enjoy the Camellia Bowl.
I like it. Very good.